Hello again, everybody, all you college football fans out there especially. This is the podcast, The Fifth Quarter, a college football podcast. This is episode 14. I'm your host, John Shomo. In this week's episode, we will review a very interesting, very busy week 12, where we found out some, but not everything we need to know about who's going to play in the postseason. We'll look at some other issues in the sport, including something called Chicken Shit Saturday. I didn't make that up. And we'll look at a forward look, if you will, at week 13 and some of the games that will be really important this coming weekend. First off, week 12. Congratulations to the first two teams to clinch spots in their conference championship game. Army and Tulane will meet for the American Athletic Conference Championship. Army still has three games to go, by the way, but they only have one league game left against UTSA. They will play Notre Dame this weekend at Yankee Stadium. They will play the traditional Army-Navy game after all the conference championship games. It's a non-conference game. It will be in its usual place in mid-December, the week after all the conference championship games. But that will not have an effect on them getting into the championship game, obviously. Army 9-0, 7-0 in the league. Tulane, congratulations to the Tulane Green Wave. Really good team. They are 9-2 overall, 7-0 in the conference. They still have a game against a very good Memphis team yet, but that will not affect their standing, and they will meet Army in the American Conference title game. It was nice to see that game at Wrigley Field on Saturday, the Ohio State Buckeyes traveling to Chicago to play Northwestern, Northwestern making the 8 or 9 mile trip down from Evanston. A lot of scarlet in the stands, looked like a home game almost. The Buckeyes weren't warmed up yet. It didn't look like they had really been ready for that. Northwestern had a bye week going in, which is common with three other Ohio State opponents this year, by the way. They've played four teams who are coming off byes. That's kind of bad. Northwestern had a good plan. They implemented it pretty well in the first quarter, had a nice drive going, fumbled inside the 20, their first drive, scored and took a 7-0 lead into the second quarter. Ohio State got adjusted, made whatever adjustments they had to make, and scored the next 31 points and won going away. Carnell Tate, it was awesome to see him do well in the city of Chicago. If you know his backstory, grew up there on the south side. His mother was murdered in a drive-by shooting in the summer of 2023. Had about 30 family members at Wrigley Field at the game and scored two touchdowns. That was just tremendous. Heartwarming to see that happen for Carnell Tate. But the Buckeyes emerged victorious and made most of the people on the north side there around the stadium happy. Let's take a look at where we are in some of the conferences briefly here. We'll try to go through each of the FBS conferences. In the ACC, it looks like SMU and Miami, if they win out, they will meet for the ACC championship. SMU has to travel to Charlottesville to play Virginia, and they're home to play Cal. Miami will be home to Wake Forest this week and will travel to Syracuse. Maybe not easy, the last weekend of the regular season. If either of them stumble, then Clemson, who is finished in the league at 7-1, would sneak in and meet one or the other in the title game. In the Big Ten, it's sort of simple. You have four teams that are way up there in the rankings. Oregon is 8-0 in the league, Indiana 7-0, Ohio State and Penn State are 6-1. As we know, Ohio State will host the Hoosiers this weekend at the Horseshoe. Oregon is off. Penn State will be at Minneapolis to play the Gophers. More about that later as well. In the Big 12, BYU lost their first game of the season this past Saturday evening at home in Provo against the Kansas Jayhawks. BYU and Colorado, Dion's team, are both 6-1. Iowa State and Arizona State, both 5-2. Those teams are still alive in the Big 12. In Conference USA, Jacksonville State, coached by former West Virginia and Michigan head coach Rich Rodriguez, they are 6-0 in conference. Sam Houston and Western Kentucky follow at 5-1. Jacksonville State plays both of those teams in the last 2 weeks, so that's kind of an interesting race there. In the Mountain West, Boise State has about a 98% chance of winning a spot in the championship game. They haven't quite clinched yet, but they're as close as you can get. Boise State will play at Wyoming this week. If they win that game, they're in. Colorado State, 5-0 in the conference. If they keep winning, they have at Fresno State and home to Utah State. They will meet Boise for the Mountain West Championship. If not, UNLV lurks at 4-1. The SEC is crazy. A&M, Texas A&M, and Texas, both with one league loss, on a collision course for their rivalry to be renewed the final weekend of the season. They haven't played each other since 2011, since the split there, A&M leaving to go to the SEC at that point in time. If they take care of business this week, they will meet for all the marbles, if you will, in a spot in the SEC title game in that game. Georgia is finished with their league games. They're 6-2. Tennessee is 5-2 in the league. Alabama and Ole Miss are 4-2. It's crazy in the SEC. We really haven't decided much there. The Sun Belt, the leaders of the divisions, that's the only conference in FBS football that has divisions still. The Eastern leader is Marshall at 5-1. The Sun Belt West leader is Louisiana. Louisiana had a chance to clinch, by the way, clinch a spot in the championship game, but they got upset this past weekend. They're followed closely by Texas State, Arkansas State, and South Alabama, still at 4-2. Marshall is followed one game behind them by Georgia Southern and James Madison. And there are a lot of games between the contenders. The Sun Belt is far from decided as we speak here. The Mid-American Conference, the good old MAC. Three teams are at 5-1, Bowling Green, Miami, and Ohio University. Three teams are at 4-2. Those are Western Michigan, Buffalo, and Toledo. We'll highlight one of the games there in the MAC as we highlight some featured games moving forward. Other issues in the sport. I mentioned the term chicken shit Saturday. I didn't make it up. I like it. In the last couple of weeks before rivalry week, just about every year, some of the teams in the SEC and the ACC play games that you just don't, they don't fit in November. These are the type of games that Big 10, Big 12, et cetera, teams will play in late August or early September at the beginnings of the season. For instance, Ohio State opened their season this year against the Akron Zips. Akron's not going to win that game. That's called a money game. Akron makes a lot of money for playing games like that. They get their players injured sometimes, but those games belong in the first week or two of the season if you're going to play them. Here are some games down south last week and this week. Last week, for instance, Auburn played University of Louisiana at Monroe. Kentucky played FCS opponent Murray State. Alabama, mighty Alabama, played FCS opponent Mercer. And Texas A&M played really one of the worst teams in the FBS, New Mexico State. This coming week, week 13, Georgia will host the UMass Minutemen. Tennessee will host University of Texas at El Paso, one of the worst teams in FBS. Florida State, traditional power, not this year, as we all know. They'll play Charleston Southern of the FCS. Clemson, finished with their league schedule. They play South Carolina on rivalry week, but this week they play the Citadel, another FCS team. South Carolina, having a good year in the week before they play Clemson, they'll play FCS Wofford. So that's what we're talking about when we mention, if you ever hear the term chicken shit Saturday, that's what we're talking about. Those games just should not be played in mid to late November. They don't fit with what the rest of the country does. I get it. They give their good teams a breather before their big rivalry game. But the conference races are heated up. Everybody's going wild, and you play games like that. I don't understand it. But let them make their money and do what they want to do, I guess. Now, other issues in the sport. We'll go to Temple. We don't usually talk about Temple much in college football. The Temple Owls, they got a dramatic overtime win at the Link in Philadelphia this past Saturday against Florida Atlantic and fired their head coach the next day. Stan Drayton won that game and got fired. Now, Stan Drayton, for all you local people, was the running backs coach for Zeke Elliott and the 2014 national champ Ohio State Buckeyes. They beat FAU, which was coached by Tom Herman, who was the offensive coordinator for that 2014 Ohio State national championship team. Stan Drayton's record is 9-25 at Temple. It's not good, but You win a big game, a big conference game. You don't win that often. You celebrate, and then the next day you get canned. I don't like the timing of that very much, but hey, you know, I'm not in charge there. Speaking of firings, surprising news came on Sunday as Luke Fickell, the Wisconsin head coach, former Buckeye, fired offensive coordinator Phil Longo after their close loss to Oregon. We'll see what they do moving forward in terms of having an offensive coordinator. The Heisman race. Don't focus on it much personally until about now. You know, there are media outlets who focus on it every week. Let's take a look. In my view, here are the four Heisman finalists. We'll see if these match up with the people who actually go to New York in about a month. Ashton Gentry, the running back of Boise State, almost at 2,000 yards already. Just a workhorse, having a great, great season. Travis Hunter, Colorado. Their stupendous two-way player, in my view, the best player in college football. Cam Ward, Miami's quarterback, who is carrying them, by the way. Their defense sure isn't. And Dylan Gabriel, the Oregon quarterback, who has led them to an undefeated season to this point. I think those four should be the four that get to go. I don't get to make any of those decisions, but that would be my pick. Lastly, in the other issues part of the podcast here, Kent State plays Akron Tuesday night. We're recording this on Monday morning. Kent State plays Akron at Dick Stadium in Kent. This was once, believe it or not, a really key game in the MAC between two good teams. I'm looking back particularly to the middle of the decade, 2005, 6, 7, nearly 20 years ago now, when both Kent and Akron were very interesting teams to watch. I attended the game at Kent in 2006 up at Dick Stadium, when the Kent State quarterback, a guy named Julian Edelman, yes, that Julian Edelman, who now appears in TV commercials and got famous as a wide receiver for the New England Patriots, he was the Kent State quarterback. He went nuts in 2006 against the Zips. Kent State routed the Zips 37-15 that day. Edelman was 17 of 21 for 305 yards and two touchdowns, no picks. He got out of the pocket all day. They couldn't contain him. He went crazy, throwing on the run, ran for 69 yards. Just a one-man sensational show that day. The following year, Edelman was still at Kent. The Zips played Kent at the Rubber Bowl in Akron, the late, great Rubber Bowl. And they decided to just contain him in the pocket. Their pass rush wasn't meant to get to him. Their pass rush was meant to keep him in the pocket. And it worked. Edelman at the Rubber Bowl in 2007 was 8 of 21, 155 yards passing, no TDs, two interceptions. He did get 65 rushing yards. That was going to happen always. But the Zips won the game 27-20. It was a great kind of coaching clinic. They got burned so bad at Kent, and they modified their defense to keep him in, contain him, and it worked, and they won the ball game. Those were the days when Kent State and Akron were both actually competent in football. We don't see that this season very much, but they will play each other Tuesday night in Kent. All right, some featured games for Week 13. I've jotted some down here. In addition to the Akron-Kent game, we have in the MAC, Toledo hosting the Ohio Bobcats on Wednesday night this week. Of the six teams that are alive in the MAC, those are two of them. Toledo is eliminated with a loss. Ohio's all but eliminated with a loss themselves. There are a lot of elimination-type games in the Mid-American Conference. MACtion, love it. Saturday, the big one at Columbus, Indiana, at Ohio State. In the SEC, you do have Ole Miss at Florida. Ole Miss needs to win to stay alive in the race. Florida looking to play spoiler once again. In the Big 12, now that Colorado was defeated, it really opens some possibilities up. Colorado is at Kansas. Kansas, the team that just went to BYU and won. They'll play at Arrowhead Stadium. That'll be interesting. And BYU has to travel to the desert to play Arizona State, who's very good this year. That'll be a tough game, bouncing back from a loss at home, to go down to the desert and play Arizona State, who's having a whale of a season themselves. A couple of really big Big 12 games there. In the ACC, we mentioned Wake Forest at Miami, SMU at Virginia. Those two games are key in the race there. In the Mountain West, Boise State can take care of business by defeating Wyoming in Laramie. UNLV is at San Jose State. Tip of the hat to Coach Ken Niumatalolo, the former Navy head man, doing a really good job in his first year in San Jose. And Colorado State, still undefeated in the league, will be at Fresno State. So there's some big Mountain West games to look for. You have Notre Dame Army at Yankee Stadium. In the Sun Belt, just about every game has meaning. Those two races in the East and West there are great. Now, to our picks. What a disaster Week 12 was for us here at the fifth quarter. We've been rolling along pretty well. But here's the four picks that we made. And spoiler alert, easy for me to say, we lost them all. Picked Western Michigan +7.5 at Bowling Green. Nah, they got routed. That's a loss. We picked Tennessee +9.5 at Georgia. Georgia got a touchdown in the fourth quarter and won by two touchdowns. That's a loss. We picked USC giving 9 to Nebraska at the Coliseum. They won by 8. So close, but a loss. We picked Clemson, 10-point favorites, against Pitt at Pittsburgh. They were 10 points ahead going into the fourth quarter. They had to squeak it out. That's a loss. So we're now 24-25-1, just a smidgen under 500 after riding high here for a few weeks. So we got to get back on it. It's getting late in the season. Here are our four picks for Week 13. Penn State is at Minnesota. I can't call it a trap game because they don't have a rival to look forward to in Week 14. But Minnesota has played well at home under P.J. Fleck, particularly this season. The weather's going to be chilly. Minnesota's giving 13. They're 13-point underdog at home against Penn State. I'll take the Gophers, Skiuma. Texas A&M, 2.5-point favorites at Auburn. Trap game? Yeah, that's a classic trap game. Texas A&M would get Texas the following week. Auburn gets Alabama. Senior day at Auburn. I'll take the Aggies to win by more than 2.5 points there. Wisconsin's at Nebraska. We mentioned Nebraska's travails. so close to a bowl, but they've lost four games in a row. They are at home against the Badgers, who just fired their offensive coordinator. Nebraska's a 1-point favorite. I know it's they haven't done it till they've done it, but I think they're going to do it this week. I'll take the Cornhuskers. And Wednesday night, we mentioned Ohio at Toledo. Toledo, a 3-point favorite at the Glass Bowl. They drive me crazy sometimes, but I'll take the Rockets to win by more than 3 at home Wednesday night against the Bobcats. So we'll stand with those and see how we do. We got to get back over 500 here. That's the goal anyway. Busy, busy time in the sport. It's a fun time in the sport if you're following a team in particularly that's in contention. You just can't wait for the games on Tuesday through Saturday. As it works out, there's games every night seemingly from Tuesday on. But we'll look forward to a busy Week 13. We'll wrap it up here on the next episode of the fifth quarter next week. But for now, appreciate you listening. You can find us on Spotify. Additionally, you can find our regular podcast, Then and Now, about everything and anything, also on Spotify. We'd appreciate a listen there as well. Thanks for tuning in. This is John Shomo for episode 14 of the fifth quarter. Have a great week, everybody.